WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And there's been a little bit of an update to the Samantha Irvin, Samantha Johnson story. I know it's weird having to, because everybody in New Bedford knows where Samantha Johnson. She was on television performing on Fox, on, what else was she on? She was on one of the singing competitions, and then she was on I Can See Your Voice. And so there's, you know, lots of folks who knew her from all of her local performances before she was Samantha Irvin, but that's the name she uses in WWE. WWE trademarks the names of all the people that work for them, so very rarely do they trademark somebody's real name. And right now, they don't even trademark the name that they might have used in their career coming up. So if you know, let's just say you called yourself, The Masked Fisherman, and you became hugely popular across the world in the independent circuit, and then you made the jump to WWE, they would give you a completely different name and maybe even a completely different gimmick so they could trademark it. Very rarely do they let people keep it, but in some cases they have, or in some cases it's a nod to who they were before. But I think most people understand that they use a different name now. You know, like last week, Jey Uso called Roman Reigns Joe in the ring, because in a moment of seriousness, you know, when they're trying to be like, hey, let's cut through all the storyline here, I'm talking to Joe, not Roman Reigns. I'm talking to my cousin Joe. You know, like they'll do that from time to time. But other than that, they have people use these what they call a gimmick. So her name in WWE was Samantha Irvin. And so she announced very suddenly yesterday that she was not going to be part of WWE anymore. And that was especially shocking because it was a Monday and she was due to work Monday Night Raw. I don't know when she informed WWE of this. My assumption was that she gave them advance notice that this, you know, they just waited until this day to announce it. But she was replaced last night by former ring announcer Lillian Garcia, who has retired a few times from the company for different reasons. Once to focus on her musical career, once because her father had cancer and she left to take care of her father. She made a return earlier this year for one night and announced a match with Samantha Irvin, Samantha Johnson. But so now the question is, well, what is the move going forward? It looks like Lillian Garcia is going to be back full time. And some folks are happy about that. Some are disappointed because although she had been kind of polarizing with some fans, Samantha Johnson, Samantha Irvin, had found a distinct style for herself. And she made some legendary calls that will be played in, you know, best of packages for decades to come. But she decided to step away. And from everything that I found out, this was not a contract dispute. This was not, you know, we're going to fire you and we're going to let you say that you quit. By all accounts, WWE loved her and wanted to have her in the fold for a long time. She was, as much as I said she was polarizing, she was hugely popular. Not only with the audience, but the wrestlers themselves loved her. And you could tell by the reaction so many of them had when she made this announcement. But Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer, who I should mention by name in this report because he used to get really upset when I didn't mention him by name in the wrestling column I used to write when I would report the same things he did as if I only got them from Dave Meltzer. See, here's where I would come up with the spoilers that I would write in those wrestling columns. You know, the time has passed enough that I can reveal all my secrets. So when I would write about what was going to happen in those storylines, that was just me guessing based on where the storyline would go. The storylines were obvious. That's what wrestling is. So I didn't need to cite Dave Meltzer because I was making it up on my own. I didn't say sources are saying that this is going to result in, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin losing the title. I said I would write something like, the way they're building up The Rock, it seems inevitable that Stone Cold is going to drop the title. Like, it's just, I don't know. But anyway. But he once complained to a mutual friend that I would write about him and not, that I would write about the things that he was reporting and not give him credit. But like, I don't read the Wrestling Observer. You have to pay for it. And I, back then it was behind a paywall. I was like, yeah, I don't pay for it, so I don't read it. And another thing that bothers me just really quickly about the wrestling media is they will all, like all 200 wrestling sites will all have the same story. And they'll all say, if you publish any part of this story, please credit, you know, whatever .wrestling.com for the transcription. And let me just tell you, random wrestling site, if I was to use any portion of that, I would not credit you because I would have that transcription by listening to the original recording myself and transcribing it myself because I don't trust the typo-ridden garbage that these wrestling sites spew out. And I thought for a long time that these were being written by AI, but AI is smarter and a better writer than these people are. So, no, I'm just going to transcribe it myself because I don't trust anything that you wrote. But anyway, Dave Meltzer reported that Samantha Johnson has been planning this now for about a year because she wants to focus on her music career. She's had some opportunities come along to advance her music career, and she was trying to find a way to make that and WWE work together, and she couldn't find a way to do both, so she has to, you know, pursue her dream of being, and he was saying, and you know what, let me read you the exact quote so that Dave Meltzer doesn't get mad. So he said, she left on her own. It was something she'd been considering. She didn't grow up as a wrestling person. She grew up as a musical person, and this was her passion. So she's trying to follow her passion. And that just proves that Dave Meltzer doesn't know anything about Samantha Irvin, Samantha Johnson. He doesn't know anything about her. Because anybody that knows her at all knows she's been a wrestling fan her entire life. That wrestling has been a huge part of her life. The whole reason she got involved in WWE to begin with is because she tried out to be a wrestler. But from the time she was a very young kid, she was obsessed with wrestling. So this was her lifelong dream, to be involved somehow with WWE. Being a ring announcer was not her lifelong dream, but being involved, being part of it, certainly was. So, you know, Meltzer's just spitting out things from any article he could have read about her, probably articles we wrote. But he must have missed that part where, you know, she's a lifelong wrestling fan. Anyway, the bottom line is her fiance, Ricochet, as Phil mentioned, went to AEW. And so the speculation even then was that she was eventually going to follow him to AEW. Ricochet tweeted out last night, she's not going to AEW. She does not have, she doesn't want to be a wrestling lifer. I know that much. She's a WWE person. So why would you want to leave that company where you are a featured star in that company to go to the lesser than, and I know AEW fans are going to get mad at me, and I don't mean this as a slight, but that is a step down. I don't mean that as a slight. I don't mean that to belittle AEW, but it's that would be a step down. Now, it's one thing if your contract is expiring and they don't want to renew it, or it's another thing if AEW is to offer you more money and you have a reason to want to go there, but to just decide on your own, I'm done with this and I'm going to go there. First of all, there would be a no-compete clause. So she would have to wait 90 days. And Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, loves to have these surprise announcements. What are you going to have, a surprise announcement that you brought in a ring announcer? Although she might be the one where that would actually be considered a big deal to the wrestling fans. But anyway, she's not going there. Unless that's just wrestling misdirection. But I'm sure that Meltzer's report is correct, that she's pursuing opportunities in music. Because she knows if this doesn't, and I'm sure she had this conversation with Triple H. I have to try this music thing, and if it doesn't work out, hopefully I can come back here. And I'm sure he said, you can always come back here. I mean, they brought in Lillian Garcia to replace her. And if Lillian is sticking around permanently, Lillian's not going to be there forever. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But anyway, that's your wrestling talk for the day. 508-996-0500. I had that story yesterday up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But we also have another story that I wrote yesterday that's getting some attention from people that I thought was, you know, I thought people might have some feelings on this. I certainly did. But I was thinking about this the other day as I was driving through Wareham from coming back from the Cape. I stopped at Percy's place in Wareham to have breakfast because the Dana Webster Inn kitchen is still closed from the fire. So I stopped to have some eggs Percy Supreme, and then I was driving down the Cranberry Highway, and I drove by what used to be a bread store over there. And I was like, man, I miss the bread stores. I miss the discount day-old bread stores. I go into the supermarket. I go to that day-old shelf. I don't really buy a lot of bread anymore. But like yesterday, I went to get some of my coffee creamer over at Stop and Shop here across the street, and right across from where I get that creamer from is the day old baked goods. And I said, well, let me go see if there's some donuts. I'll bring a donut back for McCarthy. And you know, because it was a Monday, it was a nice fully stacked day old shelf. I brought him back some apple cider donuts and he enjoyed them. But the stores were so much more than just a, you know, one shelf of things. You could get all the bread you needed. And we used to get bread there for the diner. We used to get snacks there for school. There was a lot of stuff you get there. It was more than just bread and baked goods. There were other things too, but it was all deeply discounted. They had signs out on the street that said, you know, bread, 99 cents. So it was a popular place to go, and I probably went there a couple times a month. Now, I went to the one on the west side of town in Wareham more than I went to the one on the east side of town. But that was just because I lived closer to that one, and it was right down the street from the diner and all that stuff. But I'm sure I saved a lot of money by going there. You couldn't always find what you were looking for, but you usually found something pretty good. I'm a big fan of dark rye bread and Jewish rye bread, and you can't always find that on the store on the shelves, but you can find it at the bread store. And we need the bread store to make a comeback. We need to have a place where you can get that discounted bread, discounted Hostess. America's not going to get any skinnier. We're going to keep eating Hostess. Be nice if we could get it, you know, day old at the bread store again. So chime in on Facebook under that story on the WBSM Facebook page with where your bread store was and what you used to get there. And you can give me a call as well, 508-996-0500. You can use App Chat or Open Line voicemails in the WBSM app. But right now, I'm going to take my first break of this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. As the sweet breeze blow, as the kindness come, hope still lingers on. Myself a newfound pity, sitting alone in New York City, and I don't know why. And welcome back in. We're going to be going to the news in just a moment, but we were mentioning, I mentioned dogs in the grocery store. Mary and I were talking about that earlier. And I mentioned how I saw, you know, there was a lady with a little dog in her shopping cart yesterday at Stop and Shop. And, you know, not a service dog. It was sitting in the, I mean, I guess it could have been an emotional support dog, but there was no vest or anything. And people just bring their pets into the stores. So Not Bad in Oak Bluff sent me a long message about, you know, that they have to be service dogs and they have to wear a vest and that, you know, management won't question it because it doesn't, it, that's not what's happening here. Not Bad. And you know that that's the case. You know that people are just bringing their pets into the stores and the people that work in the store are like, oh, I don't get paid enough to fight with somebody over it. So they're just letting dogs go into a grocery store. You know who I blame for this? Petco and PetSmart. I blame them because they're like, bring your dogs into the store. It's fine. It's a store for dogs. Bring them in. I'm just kidding. I'm only teasing. I'm being facetious. I don't blame them for that. That's what those stores are for. But like, there shouldn't be a lady walking around JCPenney with her dog under her arm. Unnecessary. And I'm totally understandable if people have anxiety issues and, you know, the animal helps them, but that's also been used as an excuse to be able to just bring your dog into the store. And because of the Americans with Disabilities Act, you can't just say to somebody, well, do you have paperwork for that? But you also have to do it responsibly. I don't know. Maybe let's just let dogs into everything, right? Dogs can just go into anything. Let them go into the supermarket. Don't even pay attention to them. Just, don't even keep them on a leash. Let them roam free. See what happens. What's the worst that could happen? 508-996-0500. Right now, it is time to go to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
A new report highlights security flaws the day of Trump's attempted assassination. Sean Diddy Combs facing another accusation. And being a Girl Scout, getting pricey.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A House task force says the assassination attempt on former President Trump in July was preventable. The bipartisan group looking into the Butler, Pennsylvania incident released a report that details the planning and security flaws during the rally. The main findings included lack of planning, no unified command post, weak communication, and a narrow field of vision for snipers. The so-called Central Park Five are suing former President Trump for defamation over remarks he made about their 1989 cases at last month's presidential debate. Kristen Marks reports.
The five, including Yusuf Salam, now a New York City councilman, says Trump spoke with reckless disregard when he said they pleaded guilty while teenagers to the rape and assault of a jogger and that they killed a person ultimately. Their lawsuit states that the men never pled guilty and were later exonerated, adding that no one was killed. It says that the group suffered severe emotional distress as a result of Trump's lies. In August, Salam spoke at the DNC, where he reminded the crowd that Trump took out ads in newspapers calling for the death penalty against them years ago.
45 wanted us unalive. He wanted us dead.
Kristen Marks, NBC News Radio, New York.
Sean Diddy Combs is accused of raping a 13-year-old in 2000. Brian Shook reports.
The incident allegedly happened at a VMA's after party, and Combs denies the accusation. The civil lawsuit was filed Monday, claiming that Combs committed the crime with two other unnamed celebrities. It's just one of many lawsuits filed following Combs' arrest for sex trafficking and racketeering. He remains behind bars. I'm Brian Shook.
President Biden is honoring recipients of the National Medal of Arts and Humanities.
You have broken barriers. You blaze new trails. You redefine culture. You're the truth tellers, the bridge builders.
Speaking at a White House ceremony, the president said the recipients are masters of their craft who've made America better. Biden made a political reference noting the power of women, saying they can do anything a man can do and then some, including President of the United States. Medal of Arts recipients include Missy Elliott, Ava Longoria, Idina Menzel, Ken Burns, Queen Latifah, Spike Lee, Selena, and Steven Spielberg. LeVar Burton and the late Anthony Bourdain were among the National Humanities medalists. And Girl Scouts annual membership fees will more than double over the next 2 years. Lisa G reports.
Dues will remain at $25 next year, but rise to $45 in 2026 and to $65 in 2027. This is the first time that Girl Scouts of the USA, which is 112 years old, has raised membership dues. Even though Girl Scout cookies get a lot of publicity, it's dues that raise the most revenue for the organization. The group's National Council session says the higher fees will help to avoid having to reduce or cut out some of its programs and services. Lisa G, NBC News Radio, New York.
WBSM Sports.
The Boston Celtics home at TD Garden tonight to open the season with the New York Knicks at 7:30 and Bruins on the road to play the Nashville Predators at 8:45.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Another sunny one here on the South Coast today. Warm as well. We're looking at temperatures in the mid to high 70s for your Tuesday. For Wednesday, a high of 73. Still sunny. More clouds in the area. Thursday bringing the possibility for some showers. Temperatures in the low 60s. But we're clearing in time for the weekend. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And I was talking about dogs in the grocery store just a few moments ago. And I get it. You know, there's a lot of places that have become dog friendly. But there was a time when people left dogs at home and dogs were okay. Like, what's going on with dogs that you can't leave your dog at home? My dog loved being home alone. I mean, she also was, she had abandonment issues too, so she loved when people were around, but like, she got into everything when she was home alone. Nothing bad, but like, she got to sit on the couch because nobody's there to tell her to get off of it. She could eat as much as she wanted. She could look out the window. Like, she was happy. She was fine with it. Now, if she was home too long alone, then she'd have a problem, but she liked her alone time. And I don't get why people can't let their dogs have a little breathing room from them. You got to bring them with you into the grocery store. But whatever. It'd be one thing if, you know, you should probably wipe your cart out after you've had your dog in it. Not that I think your dog is particularly gross, but your dog also walks on the ground and walks through all kinds of things and sniffs other dogs' butts and all that stuff. How about, you know, just wiping down the cart? Because, yeah, I'm going to put stuff in there that's in packages or in bags, but sometimes things fall out of the bag or, you know, like, come on. And I'm not the kind of person that, like, rolls my eyes or gets mad when I see it. Like, I'll go over and say hi to the dog and everything, but I just think it's gotten to the point of ridiculousness. Maybe you're one of those dog people. And you want to call up and set me straight. You can do that. 508-996-0500. But I do think that the, you know, obviously Not Bad's point was correct that, you know, there's only so much that they can do to stop you. Because again, as I mentioned, you know, the ADA, you can't ask somebody, well, why do you need that dog? But the other part of it is, I think a lot of the people that work in these places are fine with it because they would do the same thing themselves. The dog belongs at home. Unless you're taking the dog to something that the dog is going to do with you, the dog does not want to go grocery shopping. I don't want to go grocery shopping. When I was a kid, if my parents were, and we used to go shopping a lot when I was a kid, like we would go out almost every night and have to go somewhere. And we would complain if we spent more than like two or three nights home during the week. We'd be like, are we going to go out tonight? Let's go somewhere. Just because we couldn't stand all being piled in the house together all the time, all seven of us. But if we were where are we going? Oh, we're going to go shopping. All right. Wait, what kind of shopping? Grocery shopping. Oh, never mind. I'll stay home. And then when I was married, my wife would say, why don't you ever want to come shopping with me? I don't like shopping. I don't like grocery shopping. Boring. I don't mind going in to get a couple of things, but not a fan of walking around and going up and down every aisle and filling the cart up. And mainly, I don't want to see what happens when you check out and see how much you spent. So, yeah, I'm good. Let me know when you're home and I'll help you unload. But if I hated it, imagine how much the dog hates it. 508-996-0500. I hope people realize I'm partially tongue-in-cheek with this. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, how's it going, Tim?
How you doing?
I'm getting upset about dogs.
Not really, but
you know, personally, I mean, you know, some people don't have paperwork, but you know, a lot of people do have a issue nowadays, and you know, with comfort and control and all that stuff, you know. But I think it's just, you know, nothing to complain about, because whether the dog has papers or not, it's not your business, you know, seriously.
Oh, so that's the approach you're going to take. It's not my business. Well, what about if that dog is in the cart that I'm going to use after that?
So what? Who cares, dude? What about the grubby person that just handled the cop before that?
Do you ever see people that are in a grocery store? Do you complain if you see somebody wearing a mask out in public? Do you say, why do you get that mask on? Or do you say, oh, it's not my business?
Yeah, actually, I do still nowadays in my head, but I don't go up to them and say anything about
it. Why do you care? Really, it's not your business.
It's not my business, exactly. I say it in my head that they look like a fool. Okay, you're breathing carbon dioxide. For the mask part, but as for the dog, we were talking about dogs. Dogs are cleaner than most people, bro. So just grow up, bro. Seriously, have a good day.
All right. Yep. Do me a favor. Next time you go out, wear a mask over your whole entire face. 508-996-0500. I don't want that stupid to spread. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
I have a suggestion. Go in your office and look at the plaque, please.
Good suggestion.
It's Gilly.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're talking about dogs and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, the people that work in the places, they don't want to get involved because there's going to be an altercation, right? You've seen it in stores, the big stores. If they see somebody shoplifting, leave them alone. Don't cause a commotion. Let them go. So, you know, I mean, I've been saying it for a long time.
In a lot of cases, that's for the employees' protection, because a lot of those situations have resulted in the person going after the store and going after the person legally. So this was a way to try to, and also physically in some cases. So this was a way to really protect the companies, basically saying, you know, the insurance will cover the item stolen. It's not worth the risk of you trying to stop the person from stealing it.
Well. So what you're bringing a situation that cannot be solved. That's all I'm saying. It's just getting ridiculous. And I've been saying that this world is becoming a human toilet, the way people think, their common sense and everything. Okay, that's why I'm saying, you know, with the dogs,
we had a system in place that worked. It was, if your dog is a service dog, your dog has a vest that you have paperwork to get. And that your dog is checked out as a service dog. The problem is people, that previous caller was saying, no, you know, not everybody goes and gets that. Well, you should. If you need to bring your dog into places because you have anxiety or whatever, then go through the process of actually getting the paperwork.
Well, Tim, if you look into it truthfully now, the people you should blame is the doctors. Is because the people with dogs, they go and say to the doctor, well, he's like my secure dog.
Right.
And they give the papers that they are. So the people you should blame is the doctors.
That's part of it too. I mean, again, and I'm not saying that I'm against support animals. I totally am for it. But I just think that there's a lot of people that are using that to their advantage just because they don't want to leave their little dog at home.
It's simply amazing how this world is becoming a toilet because of things like that. Can you imagine? A lot of people know that most of the dogs that they have is just to have a dog. And it's not a
every dog is an emotional support animal. That's why you have them, because they give you that emotional support.
Not really, because some of the dogs that people have are for protection to the point of, look how tough I am.
Yeah, in some cases. But I think everybody has a dog because it just makes them, feel better. It makes them feel loved, and they love to give the love. That's why they have them.
What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're going to let other people that are stealing from a company. Just, it's against the law. But then with the dogs, the same thing. We're trying to correct something that you can't correct it. Go in the room, go in your office and look at the plaque. Will you please?
I will. All right. Thank you, Gilly. Have a good day. All right. Let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, morning, Tim. You know, it's interesting hearing about the shoplifting angle and that. I used to study personal injury cases, and I ran into a case once, I think it was in Kansas, and there was a Quickie Mart that was in a bad neighborhood, and the clerk at the Quickie Mart got killed by a robbery, and the parents of the kid who died were never told that the the Quickie Mart owners had an insurance policy on him. And so when the clerk got killed, the, you know, they were paying him joke money anyway, you know, $7 an hour or whatever. But they got like $250,000 for the death of the clerk. And the parents never knew about it. And so it apparently was somewhat common, at least in the state of Kansas, that an insurance policy could be taken out on a on an employee without their other beneficiaries ever knowing about it. Hmm. And it kind of made it easier for the Quickie Marts to have to never clean up the neighborhood. You know, they didn't mind if it was a bad neighborhood because they made money if the clerk died. So it was, you know, real creepy kind of thing. And so it kind of, when you're talking about the insurance, you know, if whether it's a security guard or just a clerk in the store tries to put a stop to a shoplifting and gets hurt, you know, never underestimate whether or not the owner of the store has venal motives or is actually looking out for the clerk. But the other thing I was calling about, did you, you know, they released some documents about Donald Trump on January 6th. And apparently, you know, everybody knows that Donald Trump sat on his butt for like 4 hours. Did zero. People were begging him to put a stop to it. Call off your troops, you know, call off these heathens. And he did zero. He sat in the kitchen watching on TV and laughing about it. Well, it turns out, according to Jack Smith's evidence, Trump paid for those people. You know, he arranged for the buses to drive them in. You know, he scheduled all sorts of different things around what they had, you know, it was like theater management of a coup. And for him to pretend that it was a peaceful day when he knew what he was getting, you know, that they had guns waiting across the Delaware waiting to be shipped into D.C., you know, they had speedboats to bring in the guns that their coup plotters had put together. So, yeah, if you get a chance to read, you know, there's a lot of blacked out pages on there. But what's not blacked out is pretty grim.
All right. Well, thank you for the info.
Sure.
Have a good day. And caller, we got one more caller on hold here. Let me just take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll go right to you. Let me make this break as short as I can. We'll be back in just a few moments. Back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. This is Christina calling in regards to the service animals in the grocery stores.
Yes.
I kind of chimed in a little late, so I'm not sure if you got this point across. But I do have a baby, and it does concern me when I see people with a dog, like, in the front of the carriage, and, you know, they're not the cleanest things. I think at this point we're getting into the society where everyone has an emotional support dog because everybody has anxiety and depression, which I get, which I'm fine with, but I think that they should either put them in the back of the carriage or have them inside of some kind of carrier of some sort. Just because, I don't know, like having a baby and she wants to sit in the front, and I always have to, I mean, I clean it either way, but it's just like, I think it's just getting too extreme lately. Yeah. I think there has to be some kind of, you know, maybe rule or something that they have them in a carrier in the back or something, because they're just free going in the carriage where people put their children and put groceries in.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was thinking about the groceries. I wasn't thinking about the fact that that spot is made for kids. That's what that spot's supposed to be for.
Exactly. And my kid puts her hand all over it. I mean, no matter, I clean it either way, but still, just the fact that there's a dog behind on there and licking it and everything else, like, you don't know what the dog's been doing. But yeah, I just wanted to get that point across, too, that people need to think about that as well.
No, great point. Thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day. And I've got to take one more break here before the end of the hour, so let me do that. We'll be back in just a few. Rest on leather with flesh on the line.
Words and weapons, sharpened knives, makes you wonder how the other half died.
And welcome back. And we are going to be going to the news in just a couple of seconds. When we come back on the other side, we're going to be joined by Carlene Cordwell of the Harris Campaign Headquarters in New Bedford. We're going to find